I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we are welcoming back to our studios a Twin Cities musician who is playing tonight at 8 at Amazing Grace in Duluth with her band. It is Mother Banjo. Welcome.
Great.
And your real name is Ellen Stanley.
That's right. I was not named Mother Banjo. if I were, there would have really been no choice. But I actually chose the banjo and the name.
And you play the banjo, so it works out pretty well.
That's right.
Well, it's great to have you back, Ellen. You've got a new album out called The Devil Hasn't Won, which is a gospel record, mm-hmm. which is something different for you, right?
Yeah. Well, I've always incorporated gospel music into my live shows. And also, I think every record actually has a gospel song on it. And but people always responded to those songs so much at the live shows, whether it be a bar or a coffee house. And also now that I really have a solid 5-piece band, those songs are just the ones that are really fun to solo on, do the 3-part harmonies, all the things that you want to do when you sing gospel music. And our brand of gospel music is definitely, I call it pub gospel, kind of like music for everyone that everyone can kind of get behind the spirit of the music, where it's about kind of coming together and helping each other out and having a joyous music to celebrate life. So.
All right. Well, let's hear a tune and we will come back then and chat a little bit more about the new album. What do you want to talk about? Or what do you want to play? I mean,
well, I will play and I'll talk about this song. It's called New, and actually it's not the newest song on the record. I actually wrote it for my previous recording, Stray Songs, which is a collection of noirish story songs about ne'er-do-wells, people who'd strayed from the righteous path. So liars, cheaters, and whatnot. And this was a song I wrote for that album, but I found when I played it with the band, it had a totally different quality, much more joyous and optimistic. And it's really about starting again, about kind of starting fresh, no matter what you've done in your past. And it can be interpreted either as a love song or a gospel song. So here is New.
Grew fast and fall like corn at night. I left them all like crows in flight. My darkest sins cast night on day, so I shed my skin, let it fall away. I wanna be new for you. I wanna be new. Far and wide through winter time, through darkened skies, the dead counts high. Waiting it out, the snows and storms that hit down south, I dream of home. I wanna be new for you. I wanna be new. Spring, a flower bowl that grew back green, I came back home. My wild roots still run deep, but I know that you, my soul, will keep. I wanna be new for you. I wanna be new.
Mother Banjo live from Studio A, and one from her new album, newish album, The Devil Hasn't Won. Actually came out like in January. And it's kind of a mix of originals and some traditional tunes and things that other people wrote. How did you pull that mix together?
Well, there's some songs that we've just been playing live for a long time together, like Wade in the Water, traditional gospel tune, and So some of those songs were just kind of natural. Go Tell on the Mountain, I worked up for a holiday show once and realized it's you could really play it any time of year. So that was kind of one I wanted to play with on the new record. But most of the songs, I wrote for the album or with the album in mind. Some of them I had written several years before, but I was kind of holding off because I knew I was going to do this gospel record. But the two covers that I chose for the album, I really love. One by two of my favorite songwriters. One is Tracy Grammer, Dave Carter wrote the song, and he died about 10 years ago. And his musical partner and life partner, Tracy Grammer, was the one who introduced me to the song Any Way I Do. And it's just a beautiful song. It always spoke to me and wasn't really written as a gospel song, but I feel like it had that spirit to it. So and the band loves playing it. So that worked out a really nice arrangement. And then the other one was Eric Peltonimi, who has written for the theater, performed in a group called Trova, also done some solo work. He also runs Red House Records, which is how I know him. I used to work for Red House, and but he's a great songwriter, and he wrote that song "Anointeth the Rock," and I kind of call it the pagan or Stonehenge gospel song. It sounds very ancient, sort of pre-Christian sounds to it, and he has never recorded it, but he gave it to me to record on this album. So I was very honored that he did that.
Nice. And where did you make the record?
I made it at Wild Sound Studios in Northeast Minneapolis. Steve Call produced it and plays on the record. And he's just, you probably know his work from with the Brass Kings and his own solo stuff. And he's been a good musical friend and personal friend for quite a while. And we've always liked each other's music. And then when he started working at Wild Sound, he approached me and said, you know, I'm handpicking a few musicians who I really love in town who I want to work with. And I was really honored that he wanted to work on my stuff, and he was the perfect person for this project in particular because we didn't want it to have one kind of sound. We wanted it to be fairly eclectic, sort of roots Americana, and he really got that, and he knows a lot of my band members, so it just was a real natural fit.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this the first time that you've had such a band sound on an album, or have you done this before?
Yeah, I mean, I've always brought in other players and people who've play in my band now have played on previous recordings, but this is really for the last couple of years we've honed in on this particular 5-piece band, and my guitar player Dan Gord has been playing with me since the beginning, but the others have slowly kind of been added on, and we had a monthly residency at the Amsterdam Bar in St. Paul for a year, and that really helped solidify our sound and our material, and it's been really great because songs like New that I had written as a solo song really came alive in new ways, and it's been really fun. We also do a lot of fun covers in our live shows. Like, we like to bring out rock songs and put our own stamp on them. So that's always a fun time. But yeah, this is the first album that really represents what I'm doing these days with the band, and it was recorded all live together. So what you hear on the record is a pretty fair representation of what you get at a live show.
Okay, and we're going to hear a cut in just a minute here while Ellen retunes here. But I also want to ask you, so you wrote a lot of the songs on here. Did you write any of them intentionally thinking, I'm going to do a gospel record, I need to write a gospel song now? And, you know, knew you already had.
Yeah.
So were there any that you kind of specifically wrote for this album?
I did write some songs for this record, but a lot of them I wrote at the same time as I was writing for the previous record, Stray Songs, because they really kind of go, I think of them, the sinning songs and the gospel songs, as flip sides of the same coin. You know, as human beings, we mess up and we try and make it right again, and then we mess up, hopefully in a different way. And then, you know, you try and make good again, and I feel like it's just part of being human. So, but a lot of those themes are in my songs, even the ones that aren't explicitly gospel songs. So, because again, I just think it's the personal journey. But there were a couple songs that I actually wrote when I realized I was making this record, and maybe I wanted another song. So the song "Lots of Ways to Go Wrong" actually had been one I'd written the bones of a while back. I was never really happy with it. And then one day I even brought it into Steve and said, I think it works thematically on the record, but I'm not really happy with it. He's like, yeah, it's not done. So I shelved it and I didn't think I was going to include it. And then one day, Steve called me and said, you know, can you come in an hour later? I'm running late. And I thought, well, maybe I'll think around with the song. And I did. I put in a whole bunch of new chord changes, added a bridge, changed the ending, and I brought it into the studio and everyone loved it. And we recorded it that day. So it's kind of a mix. But there are a couple songs that I wrote not intending it for a gospel record, just because I wrote them. So it's a mix.
Have you always been comfortable, you know, sharing unfinished songs with people, or was that something you had to get used to?
I'm pretty open to doing it, not necessarily on a stage, but with trusted friends and musicians. Yes, I feel pretty comfortable with that. I host a songwriting group, so I haven't been doing it much recently, but usually a couple times a month, I'll invite a whole bunch of songwriting friends over. We'll have drinks, and we just each share a song that we want feedback on. So sometimes they're done, but maybe there's something that's not quite right. Sometimes it's like, I just have a verse and a part of a chorus. Where do you think this should go? Or do you think it's worth continuing? So I found that really valuable. That being said, there's some probably individual musicians, like, for instance, we heard John Gorka earlier. I know him pretty well, but I'd feel a lot more anxious and nervous about sharing an unfinished song, untested song with him, because he's one of my heroes. But a lot of my songwriting pals in town, I would feel comfortable doing that. And that's the great thing about working with Steve Call, is even though he's an amazing musician and songwriter, he's very down to earth and very warm and encouraging. And he's not someone who would intimidate me to share my song with. So,
Well, we're going to hear one from the album now, as in, we're going to play it off of the album. And it is, because this seems to be my theme today, the title track.
That's right.
The Devil Hasn't Won. Tell me about this one.
Well, this song I did write for the record. And I just wanted something sort of joyous that got at the sort of foot stomping gospel music that I really love, kind of from that field holler, old Southern spiritual tradition. And I really love that kind of music. And so I just wanted something that kind of represented that side of gospel music. So I wrote this, and I just want it to be, again, an up-tempo, feel-good song about, sort of in a similar vein to New, in terms of just like, I'm just going to start again and I feel good.
All right. Mother Banjo Band with The Devil Hasn't Won, from their album The Devil Hasn't Won. This is the title song on KUMD. And that's the name of the tune from the Mother Banjo Band, from their album by the same name, The Devil Hasn't Won. And Ellen, you were telling me that that particular cut is one where the banjo isn't actually front and center, although you use it in kind of a different way.
Yeah, it's that drumming sound you hear throughout the whole tune, and especially at the beginning, that's all hitting the head of the banjo, which I do a lot of when I play, and you might have been able to pick that up on that first song I played live in studio today. I use the banjo as a very rhythmic instrument. And that song in particular, I didn't feel like it needed any picking or strings. I really want it pretty raw, with the exception of Steve Call's great slide guitar playing. We really wanted it to be, again, sort of a foot stomping tune. So also there's a cajon box, Cuban box drum also on it. My piano player is also a great drummer and percussionist, and he also lent that. So there's a few percussive sounds happening, but one of them is the banjo. So that was kind of fun to play around with. We also did Ebo banjo on one of the tracks. Actually, two of the tracks have that. You know, I don't know if you know it, it's the electronic bow. It does a magnetic thing. People usually use it on electric guitars to add that kind of vibey sound, very similar to how some pedals effects work on electric guitars. But you can use it on any stringed instrument, and you just hold it near it, and it sends like an electric signal and vibrates off of it, and you get this cool vibey sound. So we played around with that with the banjo, which was really pretty fun.
That sounds fun. One thing that I think I read somewhere, and this is kind of I think something that a lot of musicians face at some point when you're doing your own project, and you're working with these really creative people, and you're trying to balance your vision with ideas they might have, mm-hmm. and how do you stay true to your vision but also realize, hey, they might be able to make this better, or, you know, is that kind of a challenge, and is that something you learned?
Not really, because the people I've worked with are all people I just trust implicitly. So if I have a strong, and how I work with the band, even though I'm the band leader, but usually it's a pretty collaborative process in terms of how we come up with the arrangements. I might have an idea, but often we end up going with something that was not my original idea, because once we play it, I'm like, no, this is how we should do it, you know. But if I have a very strong opinion, I go with it. But and the band is always great about that, because I rarely do have those such strong opinions that when I express them, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll do it that way. So it really works out well. And with Steve, again, he's a very similar temperament to the musicians. But also what was great is about having a producer like Steve that we all look up to, is that we trust him, you know, so that it was nice to have another person who could be like, rein us all in sometimes, I think is really, really healthy. And because I write a lot of my own material, it's nice to have an outside voice tell you, give you feedback and help you work on the arrangement. Because sometimes they have ideas that you didn't even hear in your head. Sometimes you have a vision how it could sound with the band, and sometimes it can be so much better than you ever imagined. I think the time that really happened was when a couple times now I've heard some people cover my songs, like really great bands. Like I heard Trailer Trash once cover my song One Hello, which is a slow country sad tune, but they did it as a Dwight Yoakam style country honky tonk tune, and I was just blown away. I was like, it would have never occurred to me to do that. And I think that's what's great about working with great musicians, is they bring something that you never even could have envisioned your song sounding that good. So I think it's all about just surrounding yourself with the right people, and people who are flexible too.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear another one and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more. What do you want to do next?
Okay. Well, here's a song I wrote many years before I even decided to do the gospel record. And this song I actually wrote when I was waiting for Christmas one year. And Christmas now starts in August, so it's very appropriate. Anyway, and actually that's what this song was about, is waiting. You feel like Christmas is all about just months of like hearing about Christmas, and then it kind of comes and goes. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know, sometime we have to live in the now and not be so caught up in waiting for the next thing or waiting for someone else to fix our problems. And that's what this song's about. It's called No Waiting. You should come to the show tonight. It's a real sweet one in here.
The world is a mess. No. I looked for him there. I looked for him here. I was waiting for God to come down. But I found him in you. And I found him in me. It looks like God has come around. No more waiting. Waiting for God to come down. No more waiting, no more waiting. Waiting for God to come around. No more waiting, no more waiting. Waiting for God to come down. To come around. No more waiting, no more waiting, waiting for God to come down. No more waiting, no more waiting, waiting for God to come around.
Mother Banjo, live from Studio A, another song from the Mother Banjo Band, The Devil Hasn't Won album. And I'm also picturing, I was hearing harmonies when you're doing that. I bet when you do it with a band.
Yeah, that's probably, that song probably often ends up sounding the most grassy of our, of the current stuff from the new record. But that song definitely has the three part, you know, bluegrass harmonies on it for sure.
You can absolutely hear that. Would lend itself to that. Well, one thing, you know, one thing that I don't think we've ever talked about when you've been here, Ellen, is your childhood in Connecticut.
But my mythical childhood.
But of course, more from a musical perspective. I'm always curious about what kind of music people listened to in their house growing up, if their parents were musical, if they just were kind of an aberration in their family that sort of sprung up being a music fan, or how it happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did grow up in a musical home, but not in the way that I was like picking since I was two, you know, the way some banjo pickers do. I was actually, but there was a lot of music in the house. My parents both played music growing up and had a great love of music, but they were not, you know, big musicians or anything. But my dad, you know, would play the guitar and sing, and we always sang in the car. You know, we had a whole bunch, you know, every time we went on the road on like road trips to see the grandparents, we'd have the cassette tapes and we're like singing along. And so very enthusiastic for music. And my sister and I both, you know, took lessons from a pretty young age. I had the great fortune of, we got a piano when I was very young, right about the time when I got to sort of choose an instrument, and I was very excited. So I was classically trained. I played piano and then took up the oboe. So if you thought the banjo was nerdy, the oboe is even more nerdy. Beautiful instrument, but again, played classical. And I sang my whole growing up. So I was in choirs and did that kind of thing. But, you know, so I had a great appreciation for the classical music because I was performing it. But, of course, you know, in my bedroom, my teenage self, you know, I was listening to, like, you know, rock music and pop music. Mainly, you know, U2 and REM and stuff like that. But then kind of at the end of high school, I really started discovering a lot of the contemporary acoustic songwriters. I was raised on the sort of 60s folk, you know, Dylan, Peter, Paul, and Mary. But I really discovered what was going on in the contemporary folk scene probably in college, listening to a public radio station. So,
well, and New England really is kind of a hotbed for that kind of music.
Hotbed for music. And actually, my friend's dad, Steve Winters, hosts and still hosts like one of the longest running folk shows in New England. It's called Profiles in Folk on WSHU from Fairfield, Connecticut, on Friday nights from 10 p.m. to midnight. And he kind of would go thematically through different kinds of folk music. So the very first time I heard bluegrass was on that show. And I was like, I heard a bluegrass version of Bohemian Rhapsody. And it totally floored me. I thought, wow, what is this? You know, I knew Wayne's World, I knew the Bohemian Rhapsody, and I actually was a big fan of Queen, so I was like, this is so cool. And then really I went to my first like weekend camping folk festival summer after my senior year of high school, when I was already getting into the music. And then I went to that, it just solidified it. I was really hooked on the music and the whole scene and how organic and authentic it was. And and then when I went to college, I started hosting a radio show at Oberlin College in Ohio, and I did a folk show, and it kind of got me on a totally different path. And then when I moved to Minnesota, I didn't really have any sort of musical outlets, and I never wrote songs I was happy with on the piano. So I just picked up the banjo, and I had always loved the banjo. So I was like, why don't I just learn how to play it? And then learning how to play the banjo unleashed a whole bunch of songs. So it was really the banjo that started my new path for songwriting and performing. And so that's why I call myself Mother Banjo. It all started with the banjo.
Okay. Well, we have time for one more song. What do you want to do?
I'll do Wade in the Water. This is one of my favorite old traditional tunes, and it's really fun with the band. And it's fun to sing along. So if you're listening out there to KUMD, you should sing along with me. And if you come to the show, you'll definitely get to sing along. Wade in the water, wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Wade in the water, wade in the water.
tide's gonna trouble who the water. Who are those children dressed in red? God's gonna trouble who the water. Must be the children that Moses led. God's gonna trouble who the water. Wait in the water. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. God's gonna trouble who the water. Enemy's great, but my captain is strong. God's gonna trouble who the water. Marching to the city, the road ain't long. God's gonna trouble the water. Wait in the water. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
Mother Banjo, live from Studio A, and one of the traditional tunes included on her latest album, that was Wade in the Water. Well, so what ever brought you to Minnesota, Ellen?
I don't think we've ever
talked about that either.
Well, you know, I was going to college in Ohio, and I'd spent a summer in Chicago, and I loved Chicago as a city, but really for the music and arts scene, I just found the Twin Cities so much more vibrant, and especially for kind of rootsy music. And that was before I was really performing. I just was interested in kind of enjoying music and maybe promoting other people's music, and I'd done a lot of that in college, started an annual folk festival, did the radio thing, booked Josh Ritter before he was famous. He was a friend of mine from college, and I really loved promoting other artists just because I'm a fan. So I was interested in that work. At that time, I wasn't into performing as much, but it ended up being the best decision, because not only is it great because there's so, like, Red House Records is based, there's all this great public radio, and it's a beautiful city to live in, and very close to Lake Superior, so that was an added bonus. And then it ended up being the best place because it's a great place to be a musician as well as enjoy the music. It's a very supportive community, and it's big enough that there's a lot going on, but small enough that the different genres kind of cross-pollinate. And, you know, my very first performance that wasn't an open mic was a variety show where I was sandwiched in between a classical string quartet and a drag queen. And then there was like Dessa and POS before, when they were just doing more spoken word poetry thing. They were as part of the same show at this little club in Minneapolis. And that just doesn't happen in bigger cities. You know, there's a big enough scene that each place, each genre can be kind of segregated. And it's been a really inspiring place to be a musician.
Well, that's great. And how many years have you been there now?
Oh,
quite a few.
Yeah, enough. 12 years.
Okay. So. All right. Thank you so much. Great to have you in.
Thanks for having me.